Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good night to you, wherever you may be on this planet. It's good to be back at here in the radio program and talking to you in this manner. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
It's nice to be back on Blog Talk Radio. It's already August 19th. 2015. Can you believe that? The year has just gone by so quickly. We've had so many changes, and it's very exciting.
Yes, it is. And of course, this is our first week back using the radio format versus the video broadcast format. I talked about that last week on our final video broadcast. It's good to see many of you here in the chat room, and we appreciate you joining us here in this venue, this format. Tonight we have Dr. Norm Wilson, who will be our special guest, and he will be delivering his speech or his presentation. Spiritual contentment is not something you arrive at in just a few minutes. And of course, we've got Michael Kelly in the production room or in screening call. So the way we're going to do this is Dr. Wilson, in just a moment, Dr. Wilson will do his presentation, and then after that we will go right into the In-Spirit Forum, which if you've been watching our broadcast, you know what that is. That means that you can call in, you can ask questions, you can do that sort of thing, make a comment. If you would like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle cards, we can do that, and Dr. Vicki hopefully has her deck with her, because
I do.
So she'll be pulling the cards, and so we'll pull a card for you, and just kind of like we did before. So if you'd like to call in, you can do that. Michael will screen your calls and greet you, and then he'll put you on hold until we're ready to take your comment, and you'll hear the program when you dial in. So hopefully, that's all pretty clear. Is it clear as mud, or is it clear as water? One of those two.
Well, I think it's pretty clear.
Well,
we just started out with a few little technical difficulties here, and I'm trying to stop the Blog Talk Radio screen
player
from playing, and so everything has changed a little bit. It'll take us a minute to adapt, but
yeah,
we're good at that. We're good at that. We're resilient. We adapt. We go with the flow.
So the introductory stuff, though, is that this is Spirit of Life service for the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Now, we used to do this program under the name of Metaphysical Universe, and maybe you heard that in the introduction. I may or may not change that, but we did 3 years or so radio programs under that name, but we decided to stick with Spirit of Life service for this program as well. So we'll be discussing things that empower people, science and spirituality, things of that nature, as we get into the coming weeks. So that having been said, let's go ahead and we'll get into our guest speaker here. And here's just a direct statement, disclaimer, directed at no one in particular. While we are always interested in new and different perspectives, the views of our guest speakers do not necessarily represent the views of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. That's just a general statement. Now, our guest speaker tonight is Dr. Norman Wilson. He has a doctorate in the humanities and holds the position of a professor emeritus at Polk State College in Winter Haven, Florida. He is the author of a dozen books and over 300 articles published on the Internet, ranging from Buddhism to education to shamanism. Dr. Wilson is a certified Reiki master and a member, of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. His website is shamanicmysteries.com. He is speaking to us tonight via Skype from his home in Washington State. Dr. Wilson, your topic is Your topic is spiritual contentment. It's not something you arrive at. It's good to have you back on the program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Keller. It's my pleasure to be back.
Great. Take it away.
In my last two talks here about spiritual contentment, I tried to lay the groundwork for a new shift in the general paradigm about spirituality. One of the things I said that to be spiritual, you first must love yourself. And second, I said that spirituality is a personal experience. And third, you have to be open to the potentiality of spiritual contentment. Spiritual contentment, like happiness, isn't something that you arrive at someday in the future, something that you work toward or work for. It's always there, always a potentiality. Doing things that allow for its existence is easy. For example, do you have someone that you haven't talked to for quite a while? Go ahead, give them a call. You don't have to have an excuse to do that. You can just simply say, I was thinking about you and wondering how you are. Pretense is not required here. Listen to what that other person has to say. Don't have a big story that you can't wait to blurt out. Such an act announces that you want to brag about something or that you have a juicy piece of gossip that you want to spread. Do you know the child's game, pass it on? Well, don't. Just don't. If you do that, you're telling that person you called that you really didn't want to talk to them to find out how they were. You just wanted to talk about yourself. Remember, you're calling to find out how they are. If calling's not your thing, write a note, mail it, send an email, do a typing thing on your cell phone, texting. The point is for you to enjoy the effort in making contact. That's the secret right there, making the effort. If you're at your favorite burger or a pizza place or in an elegant luncheon at some out-of-the-way bistro, take the time to look around you. Notice the other people present. If someone makes eye contact with you, smile. Pay attention to your waiter or waitress. If they have a name tag on, call them by name. And if you really want to extend your potential spiritual contentment, take the time to ask them how they are. You will have worked wonders for that person and started a small renaissance in your own soul. Recently, while I was at my local grocery store, I watched a young woman cashier. She was obviously harried. She was tired, and her whole demeanor gave the idea that she really wasn't terribly appreciated. There was an elderly lady in front of me, and she very carefully took the things out of her basket and laid them on the counter, then opened her purse and began carefully counting out the change to pay for it. The cashier sighed, and her whole look and demeanor was one that she didn't want to deal with another old person taking all day to count out their money. And then I heard, "My goodness, Betty, that new hairdo looks real cute on you." A small miracle took place. Betty was instantly transformed into a smiling, warm, and friendly person. I was the recipient of that new attitude. She greeted me with, and how are you today? It's infectious. Give it a try. One more example. Recently, I had one of my former college students spending some time with me, and we were walking down the street in a small Western Washington town, and I noticed that he spoke to everyone that we passed on the street. And I asked him about it. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just trying to spread some positive energy out there. I try to make a practice to speak to everyone. I began to take notice of the responses he was getting as we strolled down the streets, and I would guess that maybe 95% of the people returned his greeting with a smile. So I tried it. It felt good. Spiritual? You want to believe it. You're making the potentiality for that. An email from a very much respected dear friend asked me one time, why do we need this connection to the ineffable mystery, that which creates, to feel a sense of spirituality? My immediate response was because we are spiritual beings. And of course, that wasn't really good enough. It was not an acceptable answer. It fell into the same category of a parent who's replied to a child's question of why, and the parent replied, because I said so. You've been here before, I'm sure. That wasn't good enough, and neither was my comment. Even if by some weird chance we suddenly had no religions in the world, no great cathedrals, splendid mosques, ornate temples, or a picturesque New England church, I think we human beings would still seek the spiritual. There is ample anthropological evidence that demonstrates mankind's effort to connect to the mystery of all mysteries, that of creation. Zoologically, there is evidence that certain species return to their place of conception. Biological evidence is mounting that suggests that there is a God particle in the brain. I'm not a scientist, but it seems to me that man's soul seeks a place of its original conception. That infinite mystery of mysteries, to feel spiritual, to be spiritual. And he does so because it's in his nature to do so. Now, are there barriers to having spiritual contentment? Look in any mirror, there's the barrier. That magnificent, splendid, wonderful you. Go ahead and admit it. You're the only one who prevents you from having a wondrous spiritual experience, to be spiritually content. You put up the roadblocks. You make the excuses. You have an appointment. You have to pick up the kids. You have to go to the doctor. You have to go to the ball game. You're working out at the gym. You get the picture. You choose what you're going to experience. You choose what you're going to do. And that determines the kind of spiritual potentiality available to you. Contentment is an interesting word. It means being happy with your life situation. Emotionally, it expresses warmth and inner satisfaction. Our culture is bombarded with soft images of people who are satisfied, who are comfortable, emotionally content. The implication being, if you don't look like that and feel that way, then you're not content. In that case, you need a cup of something or a bottle of something or a soak in a bubble bath or a lazy swing in a hammock on a sun-filled day. The effort is to present an ideal photo montage of what a contented person should be like. They are as unreal as the early television shows about the American family. You know, Life with Father, Ozzie and Harriet, Mama. You may ask, is there any attainable ideal? One of the founding principles of this fabulously wonderful country of ours is a belief in the perfectibility of man. However, if you buy into the philosophy expressed by the old saw, you can't change the stripes on a tiger, then I would ask you why in our society do we support thousands of organizations whose sole purpose is to help people change their lives? There's no lack of recent news about such people, and we don't need to mention who they are here. The notion that you can't change the stripes on a tiger doesn't take into account the thousands of religious organizations that pepper our country. It denies the millions of self-help books that are available to those who are desirous of change. Counselors that are available all over. And there's just about as many books about people who have changed, as many success stories. As a nation, we still do believe in new beginnings. And how does this belief equate with personal contentment? The fallacy in seeking personal contentment lies in incorrect goal setting. Small steps cover many miles. You don't say, I'm going to seek contentment any more than you say, I'm going to work toward happiness. Neither is a goal and therefore can't be achieved. Only goals can be achieved. Both are states of being. If what you're doing does not provide you the contentment you feel you need and want, then stop doing what it is you're doing. Move on. It's okay to do so. I said once before, just go ahead and yell yes as an affirmation of your existence, of your being. And if you can, jump up on and click your heels. I'm too old to do that. But I can snap my fingers and put a smile on my face, and so can anyone else. After all, there is nothing so wondrous as yourself, right? You want to believe it. Thank you so very much. Namaste.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. It's really nice to have you back on the program, and had some great stuff, and I especially enjoyed the story of our mutual friend as you were walking down the street. That's such a great way to pay it forward. So thank you very much for coming, and we appreciate you always and hope to have you back again sometime soon.
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
All right, so we have some folks in the chat room, and we'll get into our in-spirit portion of the program. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, feel free to call in. It's really easy. The number is there on your screen. It's 646-668-2876. And Vicki doesn't bite hard. And so if you'd like to call in and do that, if you'd like a card hold for you, you can, if you're in the chat room, you can certainly let us know in the chat room.
You know, I'd like to just add in here that we use the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards. And for those who are listening for the first time or and not familiar with our show, because we get new listeners, these cards cover pretty much all of the, you know, ICMH principles of belief, as well as the IMHS studies, and little tips and pointers and, you know, various suits and cards and so on. And they're symbolic, if you will. They touch our psyche. They touch our consciousness. They activate us into thought. And that's the purpose of these cards. And, you know, they were a long time in the making and development, and we are very excited about them, and you can get your own. So you just go to the site, and $30, and you can have your own set of Inner Oracle cards. You know, Dr. Kelly, Chris Tracy is in the chat again tonight, and
yeah,
we're going to draw a card for her, but can we all please, you know, just put a little congratulations out there. Yesterday, Tracy achieved her IMHS bachelor's, and she's just a super, super student, and her enthusiasm is so contagious. She's
yeah,
done a great job. Going to do a little celebrating and already diving into her master's. You know, people don't realize that this is not a cakewalk. You know, you've said it many times in the material too, Dr. Kelly, that this program is very unique, written by yourself, Dr. Kelly, put together meticulously throughout the bachelor's program. You learn about yourself. You learn, you know, not only an overview of metaphysics, which is the study of consciousness and, you know, all the different aspects of it, but it takes you on a journey. And once people get this far as Tracy have, you start to look back and say, wow, it is all so meticulously designed. It's genius. It's brilliant. The longer I am with, it's over 4 years now that I've been with IMHS and Dr. Kelly, and I appreciate the program more and more and more as we go. I appreciate the students. We learn from the students as much as we do anything. Actually, I think that's where our greatest learning is. But it's wonderful to see our students achieve these goals. And you know, we have what, 500 students, more than 500 students now. Sometimes people take a little time off, you know, life happens and they come back, and others just start barreling through. So it's designed for people in their busy schedules and their lives. And I just wanted to throw that plug in. We're off on a new start, fresh start here. And again, congratulations to Tracy, who happens to be in the chat tonight, but to all of our other students who have, you know, just made some milestone achievements mm-hmm. in this past little while. So
yes,
there you go.
Congratulations to Tracy. We're going to bottle that enthusiasm, and we're going to start injecting the world with it. And hopefully that will improve the happiness in the world. So, yeah, she's really psyched about that. That's great. And, you know, we have other students in the chat, too, who have gotten their bachelor's, gotten their master's or doctoral degrees, and it's a great milestone. This program changes lives. I wish I could share all the stuff I read from students with everyone. And I've shared some of them, you know, in the testimonials on the website at metaphysicsinstitute.org. Those are all genuine, and they all come from students and people who've experienced it. So if you happen to be listening to this and you'd like to get your degree in spiritual counseling, life coaching, even anomalous research, paranormal, holistic healing, there's a bunch of them. You can find out all the information you need at metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you just want to take a single course, you can do that at ICHSworld.org. That's our sister school for standalone courses. So there's some stuff there. So we have one person who would like a card pull, and that would be, of course, Tracy. So if you would like to pull that a card for Tracy.
Absolutely. I can do that, or would you like to do that?
No, I don't have my deck in front of me. Sorry. Technical difficulties, I
grabbed. I have a card right here. I'm pulling it out. It's a wild card. The energy at hand is outside the norm. It is unknowable, number 4. in the wild card. So pay attention here, Tracy. This is very interesting. I love this card. The mysteries, there are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. The focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. So change your mind and you change your world. You change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. So that would be an indication that, you know, our frames of reference change. And of course, this is a milestone for Tracy, a big accomplishment, and life's going to change in ways she just can't think of right now. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's a good card. You know, before you got done reading all the stuff we'd written there, I can't remember what we wrote on every one of them, but I was going to say, you know, that unknowable can become knowable once we raise our awareness, and that's so we already got it covered, though. Apparently, we're good.
Yes. So, Jenny, sorry.
Go ahead.
Jenny is saying she'd like a card, too. So I am looking at gratitude, service to self and others, number 36. And again, gratitude in that. I'm just going to open my pages here, Jenny. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. You know, of course, Dr. Wilson was talking about that earlier, too. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. So there might be a little message in there. You know, it's not just about us giving forward. It's also about, you know, I love that last line about being gracious and having manners when people, even if we kind of get a little nervous or feeling a little squirmy when people are giving compliments, accept them graciously, because people who are giving that, you got to let that energy flow. So, you know, just absorb it and eventually we start to integrate that.
Good.
So a little message there for Jenny.
Good comments too, and excellent on taking a compliment too. That's always good. A lot of people have a hard time with that. And so, you know, I was I'm gonna wait for a second. I was just thinking, gee, I wish Phyllis was here so that I could hand her the mic, but she's not here. But is she? She actually called in. Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
I am fine. I'm really happy.
Hello,
that
Phyllis.
Hi. How's it going, Vicki?
I'm very well. Thanks. Glad that you called in.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to listen to you on the internet, and at least I can hear you, but I can't see anything, so I have to figure out how to do it before next week. So, but I'm so glad that I could tune in and
use your imagination. So you'd like a card as well, right?
Yes, I would. Not
okay.
That one, the one
oh,
next
right.
to it.
That was weird.
Okay, I am thinking, hang on. Oh, one just dropped out, Phyllis, so I'm not even going to fan these cards out. One just dropped into my lap. It said, belief system and knowledge base. It's in the existential suit, number 15. And so I have to believe that there's a little message there for you.
What was the face value again?
15. Belief system and knowledge base.
Okay.
We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. You know, I noticed here Dr. Brian Arndt is also in the chat room, and he just made a little comment. He said, love that card, big exclamation marks. It is a very profound card. And it's because everything, you know, we've talked about this even earlier tonight, everything does come from you know, each of us has a file for life based on our experience, how we see things. And then sometimes that file begins to change a bit, and it's all belief systems. So I would say that this is something that your knowledge base is expanding right now. So it's kind of let the hard drive of the brain start reconfiguring, and you never know what comes out the other side. It could be very exciting.
I think now that I'm doing and more teaching at where we go, that I do have to expand more to explain things to people when they come to me with questions. It's like, I don't want to say, oh, well, wait a minute, let me go look that up. I want to hopefully be able to have some of it in the back of my head because I just read it or researched it myself.
Good for you. Yeah. You know, don't be afraid to say, I don't know.
I do that at work. I don't know, but let me find someone who does.
That's right. You know, Dr. Kelly and I just had a discussion the other day about theories and what we believe, because sometimes we don't know what we believe. We know what we'd like to believe, but we don't know what we believe. Exactly, or what we're told to believe. What it's fair to say is, here are some theories, you know, so that people can kind of start to think in their own frame of reference. And I think that that's, so when you are asked questions, you say, you know, I don't really know, but I've heard some theories. And because you've asked, maybe I might do a little more research on that now.
Yeah,
that's
fair. I like that answer very much. Yeah.
Good.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Phyllis. I'll put you back on mute and you can listen to the program if you wish, or you can go back to the player, whichever you want.
Okay. Thank
Glad
you so much.
Phyllis. Thanks.
Yeah,
and I'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.
Tell your sister hello, too.
I will, when I see her.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
You know, Dr. Kelly, when Phyllis was talking about, you know, teaching classes and these people taking classes, and it just brought to mind something that we are asked frequently at ICMH and IMHS about, what would I do with this degree? Why would I want to take this degree? You know, I think it's fair enough that we just want to expand our knowledge base sometimes, but most students have a goal. Most students have something that they would like to achieve, whether it's a PhD looks good when you're authoring a book.
Mm-hmm.
You want to legitimize your teaching in anything from Reiki to yoga. You want to, it just gives you that extra credibility. But please hear me clearly, everyone, this knowledge base of this program is huge.
So it is.
It's not just that PhD, but that's the icing on the cake. It's, in my view, it's always about the learning of it. And to be perfectly honest, things were a little different when I signed on with Dr. Kelly. You now have to go through the program before an ordination. At that point, I got the ordination. And why did I want a degree? Well, I want to learn. I really want to understand different ways of seeing things and thinking of things and interacting with language and studies. And that's, to me, the greatest advantage that people come out of this program with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are looking for something to add that little bit of credibility, no matter what you do for a living, and I want to bring up, you know, Dr. Brian Art is in the chat. I'm sure he won't mind. He has a day job, but he's a writer. He promotes his books. He writes his books. He also does other things on the side. You know, sometimes in our field, it's very hard to actually have a full-time job in it and feel comfortable to make a living. And not everyone is good at being self-employed, because that's largely what is required. But if you're doing something on the side, if you're doing any other kinds of work in alternative therapy, you know, alternative care, doing readings, it's really good to get your PhD. And it just opens the whole world for you. I just had to throw that in.
Good points. And I'd like to also expand on that a little bit, but in a more general way. You know, we have a number of students here and alumni, as well as those who might be listening, might be considering the program. And so I'd like to say and encourage all students and everyone to own what you do. So if you're studying in the IMHS degree program, when you study those courses, own them. own that information, learn it well, make it real for you. I was just talking with my wife earlier about, I feel like so many people have this, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a force field up, you know, it's a veneer, it's a facade, it's a thing that you got to get through. And a lot of times they'll look at some of this stuff, and it doesn't, it's not just our stuff, but it could be any wisdom, any good stuff, and they don't get the sense of it. And that's the important thing. And once they get the sense of it, they realize, oh my Lord, this is great stuff. I mean, this is heavy. This will change my life. And so if you're, whatever you're doing, own it. You know, my dad always told me, if you can do something, do it right. I mean, that's a pretty common expression, but if you're going to do something, then own it, make it yours, learn it well, be the expert on it. And that's what we're trying to teach our students too. You need to get a PhD. You need to be an expert on this stuff. So own that material, and it will, you'll do really well. If you're a teacher, a writer, a coach, or a counselor, you will speak from that authority position, and that's what you need to do, and you can do that. The program is not a cakewalk, but it's also not rocket science. You can do this. And we have a lot of students who start this out with a lot of fears, they're unsure of themselves, and yet they begin to do it, and they do well, and they gain confidence, and they realize that, well, they can do anything, and you can. You can do anything. And so, whatever you're doing, own it, do it well, make it yours, and be the authority on it, be the expert on it, because you'll be far more effective if you do that. So,
true enough. One of the things is, don't let other people get in the way of your own thinking. When you encounter ideas that are new, just assimilate them as best you can, but stick to your guns. Stand your own ground. Own your own stuff. It's great.
So, we appreciate the time you've taken with us tonight. Our program is 30 to 45 minutes, and it's up to us up all of the night. We really do appreciate the time, and you know, you can do other things. So, great listening. That means something. If you like what you're hearing, tell others about it. There's a lot more where this came from. Archives, audio archives on the website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. If you're not a member of the church, you can certainly join as an associate member there. We have video archives from our last 8 months or so of doing video podcasts. They're on metaphysicalhumanism.org as well. So, I am hearing that my mic is cutting out a little bit, so it might be this music overpowering me. I'll turn it down a little bit. Anyway, if you would like to know more about what we do, metaphysicalhumanism.org. If you're interested in our degree program, metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you're interested in just a standalone course, then that's ICHS World. Obviously, if you have any questions, you can contact us through the website, either any of the websites you can get us. So, I'd like to thank Dr. Hunter for being here every week. I'd like to thank Michael Kelly for helping us behind the scenes, as always. And I'd like to thank Dr. Norman Wilson for being a guest on our program tonight. And hope to have him back again. Next week, we'll be covering the topic of how to do a reading without cards.
Yes, it'd be very exciting. People should tune in for that one.
So, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night,
everyone.